You're listening to Radio Influence.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. This is my podcast, and we talk football. Football is my thing. I like to talk about it. It's a big part of my world, and spent most of the weekend watching football till the wee hours of the night last night. Stayed at Hotel Zamora. That's my spot. We had a pool party there yesterday. Then we had a Bucs viewing party where we sat and watched that first half debacle. I don't know if it's the jet lag. I don't know what it was, but we sure looked asleep as football players, as an organization, as a team, play calling, no adjustments. The Buccaneers just looked like a second-rate football team in the first half yesterday. And okay, you came back and you made it a game in the second half, but that's a bad football team we were playing. So if you're playing the New England Patriots or you're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers and you come back, okay, that's cool. But you shouldn't have been down 31-0 to a bad football team, whether it's at home or on the road. So we're definitely going to sit and we're going to talk about and break down that Buccaneer game with a fine-tooth comb. That's for sure. A couple of things I want to talk about before we get to that Buccaneer game. There's a couple of things that happen in the NFL, and some irk me. The first thing is, and this is not what irks me at all, Colin Kaepernick is filing a grievance, basically collusion by the NFL. Now, whether you believe in what he stands for or kneels for, that's really not in case right here. That's not what we're really talking about. You talk about collusion, okay? That's everybody out to get you or holding you out of something that you deserve. This is the most cut and dry case I've ever seen in my life. Because NFL owners and organizations, they can't say that they're not holding the guy out. Colin Kaepernick is one of the top 64 quarterbacks in the world. Okay, there's 32 teams. You need two quarterbacks at each team. Sometimes they have three. There's no doubt, and there shouldn't be any doubt in your mind, that Colin Kaepernick isn't better than really some of the starters in the NFL. Okay, but you definitely can't say he's not one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the NFL at this moment. Age isn't a problem. His arm strength's not a problem. His athletic ability's not a problem. His record's not a problem. His resume's not a problem. I've said this statistic before. He has the fifth best touchdown in the interception ratio in the history of the NFL. I mean, there's no reason for a young man to be, you know, in the middle of his prime and to have those statistics and not be playing in the NFL. It's because it's being colluded, period. So what's going to happen is Colin Kaepernick's going to get a big fat chunk of money from the NFL. Now, he might get it 50 years from now because, you know, when you're trying to sue 32 billionaires and you got 32 billionaire lawyers, that they may kind of string that out a little bit. Or they may throw him a bunch of money and say, get the hell out of here. We just don't want to deal with this anymore because it's definitely messing with their bottom dollar, okay? And I didn't think anything could ever mess with a bottom dollar, but this is. And it's something that has to be dealt with. The only solution I have in my mind that I can think of is not telling everybody they have to do something they don't lawfully have to do. That's not a solution, okay? That's bullying. Keep them in the locker room. Keep everybody in the locker room. When the national anthem is over, you could do whatever you want in the locker room. When the national anthem's over, let everybody come out, okay? This is the United States of America. The reason why everybody looks up to us allegedly is because we have, you know, we're able to do things. It's not a communist. It's not a communist area. Everybody wants to all of a sudden, communistic ways. That's what everybody wants. Our president's saying that to fire these guys for doing something that they're doing lawfully. So this is not going away. All right, this is not going away. Colin Kaepernick's not going away. And now with this grievance. We're going to keep on hearing about this, and this is not over, that's for sure. Another thing that irked me a little bit, this week was Luke Kuechly. Luke Kuechly, who was a fantastic football player, by the way, the middle linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. Great, great, great football player. Just when you watch the Carolina Panthers play, you're going to watch Luke Kuechly make a dozen plays. That's just the way it is. And that's how it has to start happening with some of these Buccaneer players that are reading their press clippings, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing what's going on. Like, I don't know why some of these guys are supposed to be good. But Luke Kuechly last year, if you remember, missed the last six games of the season because of a concussion. And he was carted off crying because, you know, he was thinking my career might be over. I mean, that's real thoughts at that moment. But Luke Kuechly yesterday didn't finish the game, okay? And he went through the concussion protocol. And I'm doing air quotations right now. Concussion protocol. Let me tell you what a concussion protocol is. It means you have a concussion, period. If you're on the sideline and you're going through the concussion protocol, that means you had a concussion. Something you did on the field made them think that you had a concussion. That means you have a concussion, period. Okay? There's a lot of concussions that obviously aren't diagnosed, but if the doctor says, look at my finger back and forth, you're concussed. And then they came out and said, he went through the protocol and he passed the tests and he didn't have a concussion. Bullshit. No way. And if you are Luke Kuechly's family or people that love Luke Kuechly, you would expect the NFL to take good care of Luke Kuechly, but they don't care about him. If he can't play, they don't care about him anymore. And that's a problem I have. And the NFL keeps on acting like they like give a crap about these players, but they keep on putting them on the field. And they're just not concerned for their well-being later on. When Luke Kuechly is, you know, sipping out of a straw when he's 40 years old and he can't take care of his family, the owners aren't going to give a crap about that. Okay, so that's something I have to get off my chest as well. So I watched that game yesterday at Hotel Zamora and got back in the morning. I'm now doing a show from 5 to 6 on the bone. Yes, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Nice, bright, early. Get your ass up. So I had to head over there, and I got back home, got a chance to lay in bed and rewatch the game a little bit. You know, sometimes things aren't as bad as they appear. Like sometimes when you know, as an athlete, when you after you play the game, you always think, did I play well or did I play poorly? It's never as bad as it looks or as you thought, and it's never as good as you thought, okay? That was pretty bad in the first half. Like when I'm talking about, don't know exactly what they were trying to get accomplished. I don't even know what the Bucs were doing. I don't know what they were doing defensively, but that it ain't going to work going forward. And hopefully it didn't expose us yesterday, because there was only one guy, Larry Fitzgerald, who's old as hell, running around the football field just wide ass open. You don't have anything for that. And listen, the coaches can coach as much as they want, but when you have Hargraves turning the wrong way on routes, you can't turn the wrong way on a bad football player. He's turning the wrong way, and guys are wide open. Larry Fitzgerald was wide open all game long. I don't know exactly what they're trying to get accomplished. If you looked at the first one of the first touchdowns, you watch T.J. Ward, who is a Pro Bowl safety and that's seen things forever, bite so bad on a play action fake that, you know, guys are wide open in the end zone. And that all falls back to, if you can't stop the run in the NFL, if you can't stop the other team from running, you will lose that football game. You will lose that football game. So the Buccaneers, although they made it tight at the end, 5 points, tight-ish, they were favored in that game, by the way. The Bucs in Vegas were favored in that game on the road. Okay, which should tell you something about the Arizona Cardinals. They're not that great of a football team. They won't win six games this year. I don't think. And I'm not sure we win six games anymore, because going through that game, obviously the big story is Jameis Winston and his shoulder. I'm not a doctor, but I know a whole lot about football injuries. If I would guess at this moment, and I've not seen anything, any reports, I would say he has a sprained AC joint. I've had it. It sucks. It's very painful. And I had it shot up a couple times to play. And I said to myself, I wouldn't do that again because I played like a horse's ass. So sprained AC joint is what I see it being. He tried to play through it. Just didn't work. His arm wasn't there. And be honest with you, Jameis Winston hasn't been very accurate this year, period. Okay? It's getting to a point where, you know, Jameis makes some unbelievable NFL throws. Like, he makes some of those throws where there's only a handful of NFL quarterbacks can make them. He does make those throws, no doubt about that. But as far as his accuracy goes, he's below average. And before even he got hurt, he was below average with his accuracy. He's missing a lot of guys. Missed Mike Evans on a long ball early in the game, and you know that changes the complexions of games. So let's hope for the best with Jameis Winston. And I was on Mike Calter's show today, and they were talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick and how well he played. And, you know, first of all, Ryan Fitzpatrick played okay. Okay, he played all right. We, you know, compared to the first half, obviously he was smoking, obviously, but there's more than that. It's not about going in the second half and trying to clean up a game that you're getting routed in, okay? It's more than that. And they were talking about maybe he should start. Listen, if Jameis Winston is healthy, Jameis Winston is going to start. Jameis Winston is not going to be on anybody's bench anytime soon. If he's healthy, he's going to start. Jameis Winston is the past, present, and future of this football team. So if you're a Ryan Fitzpatrick fan, I hope you're not really basing it upon that one half of football that you saw yesterday. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick is a journeyman, and that's not in a negative way. But in the offseason, he was dangling out there for anybody to grab on if they want him to be their starting quarterback. And we end up bringing him here where he's cut and dry a backup quarterback. And what I would say Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably top two or three backup quarterbacks in the NFL. I really would. Why? Because of his resume. He's got a nice resume. He's played a lot of games, been in a lot of battles, had some success, and he's an intelligent young man. Okay, so those are a lot of good things in a meeting room to help Jameis. I never thought Mike Glennon really helped Jameis that much myself. I'm not in meeting rooms, so I don't know. I just didn't think he was that savvy of a football player or that knowledgeable. He didn't play enough football, and you know Fitzpatrick may have to go this week. He might have to go. He might miss Jameis for a couple weeks. But at 2-3, I think they said at 2-2, the Buccaneers had a 20% chance of making the playoffs. At 2-3, the numbers are going down, okay? 2-4, you ain't going, period. So the Buccaneers need to figure things out real, real fast. They need to get some guys back on the field, and they need some of their stars to start playing like stars. Like DeSean Jackson, for me, is a star, but he hasn't shown it yet. His ability hasn't sparkled yet. We haven't really seen his speed yet. Dirk Cutter, figure out a way to get this dang guy the ball in his hands. I don't care if it's on reverses. I don't care if it's on quick screens. I need to see some more slants. I don't know what, but we have to figure out a way for the ball to get in DeSean Jackson's hands, okay? I feel like we're wasting all that speed. And, you know, watching the game yesterday, you know, there were some players that were glaringly bad for me, okay? I thought both of our tackles, I thought Donovan Smith and Damar Dotson both struggled quite a bit. Donovan Smith, just there's times, and that's our starting left tackle. And if you know anything about football, when you have a right-handed quarterback, your left tackle is the one that has to be the man. He makes all the money. Donovan Smith, at times, he takes such elementary rookie steps and angles, I just don't get it, okay? Sometimes he looks completely out of sorts. And he did not play well at all yesterday. Damar Dotson struggled a little bit. I didn't see anybody else struggle glaringly, but I'll have to rewatch it again, and I'll definitely let you know. But as a whole, we didn't run the ball worth a damn. You know, Doug Martin's legs, who looked so fresh the week before, he looked back to being this normal again, and there was no holes out there. You know, O.J. Howard at the beginning of the season, everybody's like, we're going to be such a dynamic offense. We have O.J. Howard. And this is what I say, and this is not being pessimistic. This is being realistic, okay? Rookie football players don't make a difference. They don't. I haven't looked up his statistics, but I don't know if O.J. Howard has more than 5 catches or 6 catches this year. I don't think he does. And he had 1 catch yesterday. That's not a difference maker. Now, Cameron Brate right now is more of a go-to guy for Jameis Winston. Now, Jameis is out, and yesterday, Cameron Brate caught a touchdown, by the way. The first ever Harvard to Harvard touchdown ever, okay? Might not ever happen again, by the way. So Fitzpatrick from Harvard, Brate from Harvard, touchdown Harvard to Harvard. It's not, I don't know, in my lifetime, it probably won't happen again. There's not a lot of Harvard players out there, more or less on the same team or hooking up for touchdowns. So we have to figure out ways to get our tight ends more involved in our offense. Okay, that's going to make everybody better. We got to figure out ways to run the football because yesterday it wasn't good enough. And especially on the other side of the ball, and I'm going to get to our defense in a second, but the other side of the ball, when they're running the ball like they are on us, okay, and we can't run the football, you just don't win those football games. It's unfortunate, but you don't. And then as a whole, I just didn't think the play calling was very creative, especially in the first half, obviously, when we're down 31-0. It's hard to stick with the running game, but nothing was working. Three and out, three and out, three and out. I want to see some change offensively, defensively, special teams, something. And nothing really worked in the first half. So that was hard to watch. It really was. In the second half was different, especially offensively. We started scoring some points. Defensively came up with a couple stops, onside kicks, some different things to turn that game around. But once again, you're coming back on a poor football team. Not a very good, on a team that I don't even think they believe they're that dang good. Seriously. And the Buccaneers yesterday weren't good. That's the worst I've seen in a little while defensively. I'd have to go back to the game where the Buccaneers played Atlanta at the end of one season and just got whomped in the first half. I mean, that's about as bad as it looked. You know, getting that open in the NFL is supposed to be hard. Okay? It's supposed to be hard, but Carson Palmer was just standing back there polishing the football with all the time in the world. And we haven't harassed a quarterback yet this year. We haven't. We've put a couple quarterbacks on the ground, get a half a game. And that's it. Gerald McCoy got a sack yesterday, 2 weeks in a row with a sack. I'm watching every play. Great, you got a sack. Great, but the rest of it is garbage. When I mean garbage, I mean odd. I mean, for somebody who's played the game for quite a long time, Gerald McCoy does some stuff that I've never seen either. I've never seen some of the things he does, I've never seen on film. And this is a Pro Bowl player. Go back and watch the touchdown, first Adrian Peterson touchdown. Gerald McCoy is taking on a double team. He ends up with his back to the line of scrimmage. Now, I play football for a long time. If you're a defensive lineman, you can't play. It's a bad play if your back is to the line of scrimmage, okay? So how are you going to tackle somebody with your back to the line of scrimmage? So when I'm seeing things like that, you're wondering why we're losing? Well, that's the reason why we're losing. Fundamentally, we're not that damn good. And, you know, when you're losing, when you don't have Quan Alexander and his makeup speed and, you know, you can't stop the run, boy, life is tough. And don't think that, you know, Arizona didn't look at our game tape and say, well, look at these guys in the middle of this field. It's wide open. We could kill these guys in the middle of the field. And that's what they did. And without a pass rush, which we haven't had, you know, everybody's just sitting back there and everybody's cool. Where's our pass rush? That was the number one thing in the offseason. We got to figure out a way to put the quarterback on the ground. And we don't do that worth a darn. We really don't. And statistically, we there's nothing out there. We got to start getting some turnovers. We got to start making some plays defensively. And I'm not seeing it. And especially in the first half of that game, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. As a Buccaneer fan, in my mind, I kept on thinking, why do we think these guys were good again? Like, I don't remember. I'm forgetting that. Why did we think this defense was great? Who were the players? Like, I don't remember anymore. I don't remember who the players that were supposed to be these beasts up front rushing the passer. I don't remember who were supposed to be these up-and-coming corners that were supposed to be great. Our safeties, TJ Ward, you're supposed to be a Pro Bowl-type player. I'm not expecting for you to get your faked out of your jock for a touchdown early in the game. So these are all guys that they're reading their press clippings. And Baker made a couple plays yesterday. That's the first plays I've seen him make all year. All year. Golston, I haven't heard his name all year. Nothing. So, and Golston's one of my favorite players on the team. I haven't heard or said, he hasn't said a word all year. Last year, I see him mixing it up with people and making some plays and playing aggressive. This year, I'm not hearing about him at all. So right now is a tough time to be a Buccaneer fan because we thought that we'd taken that step, okay? We thought, but we sure took a big step backwards. Losing to New England at home on a Thursday night, Tom Brady in your house. Could have been worse, okay? New England wins football games. That's what they do. On national TV, that's what they do. I thought the Buccaneers fought them. I thought the Buccaneers had every chance in the world to win that game. Yesterday was disheartening. I mean, that was one of those things where we took three or four steps backwards. As an organization, we took four steps backwards because, you know, to play like that in the first half, to lose your quarterback, and just not really look in sync on either side of the football is unacceptable at this time of the season. Because right now, things are supposed to be coming together. And it's disheartening to see Jameis Winston and the starting offense in there not being able to move the football, you know, looking like a ragtag offense. They really did. This week, you know, a lot of people don't believe in must win. I don't believe in must win either, but if you lose, you're done. If you lose and go 2-4, your season's done. And it's already a disappointing season for me because, you know, at the beginning of the year, people were asking me, you think the Bucs could go 12-4? I said, no. They go, why don't you think so? I go, because it's hard to win 12 games. It's hard. It's hard to win in the NFL. And I was talking about this yesterday. You know, I played 9 years. And if you look back, I don't know if I won more than an average of 2 road games a year. Okay? I didn't win many games, period. But it's hard to go on the road. It just is. And I know Arizona, once again, is not the best team in the world, but they still got a lot of legitimate football players over there. And they put it on us in the first half, especially. But they deserve to win that football game. They were more physical on both sides of the football. Definitely on the lines. Wide receivers are great. You win football games in the trenches. That's why we called my podcast In the Trenches. That's where the games are won, in the trenches. The Bucs aren't that good in the trenches. They're just not. And, you know, in the trenches means the tight ends, the offensive line, defensive line. That's the trenches. That's where the game's won, okay? Whoever's more physical there, whoever gets after the passer, whoever, if you allow a running back to run for 5 point, whatever yards it is, and Adrian Peterson, who everybody else thought was washed up, if you allow that to happen, then you lose football games. And if you don't rush the passer and you allow guys to run around scot-free and unscathed, you lose football games. There was a couple times early in the game where Jameis Winston's standing back there holding the football, getting sacked, and then they would show the vantage point of the defensive backs or, you know, the wide receivers, there's nobody open. So it just looked like or felt like we got grossly not just outplayed, but outcoached as well. It looked like they were double teaming Mike Evans and wouldn't let Mike Evans beat us. And DeSean Jackson and Jameis, they haven't caught on yet. I'm waiting. I had somebody in fantasy football say to me, man, I got DeSean Jackson. I'm going to bench him. I go, I wouldn't do that because the second you bench him, he's going to go off. He has a go-off game coming. Now, I've been saying that for a few weeks as well. But I'm expecting at some time here, Jameis, if and when he gets back, starts getting DeSean Jackson speed. Because he doesn't right now. He just doesn't. And I see a DeSean Jackson having that buck 50 or 200-yard, you know, receiving game. Because he has the ability to take a couple to the house. And we just haven't seen that yet this year. We haven't seen enough anyways. I don't know at this point. As a Buck fan, I'm hoping if you mess around and turn around and win this week, the optimism comes back. But looking around the NFL now, we still have to play, listen closely, Carolina twice. We have to play Atlanta twice. And we have to play New Orleans twice. And like I said, winning on the road is tough in your own division and period. So out of those 6 games, optimistically, the Bucs win 3. Optimistically. We don't have much more room to lose any games. We just don't. And there's a lot of football left. It puts yourself in a hole when you're below 500 at any time in a season. Even if you're 0-1, you got to win 2 games in a row just to be 1 game over 500. That's hard to do. It's hard to win in consecutive weeks in the NFL, as the Buccaneers are finding out. So we're going to figure out real quick. They're playing the Buffalo Bills this week. And by the way, if anybody's looking for somewhere to go watch the game, I'm going to be at Park and Rec in St. Petersburg. Real cool place. They got indoors and outdoors, and we'll be parked in there. Monica from the Bones going to hang out with me. She's a big Buffalo Bills fan, and it's a big Buffalo Bills bar. So if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, come hang out. And if you're a Buccaneer fan, obviously we want you to come hang out as well. Now, before the game, I was at the Hotel Zamora and I was watching television and they had one of those E60s. And I just started to watch it because I saw Mike Evans on the screen. And I never knew a whole lot about Mike Evans and his life, what he's been through. But I have a whole lot more respect for Mike Evans as an individual because I didn't know the story of his uncle killing his father in the street, shooting his father numerous times and then stabbing him 27 times to death. And then how, you know, Mike Evans grew up without a father and then later almost forgiving his uncle because he found out of how much of a monster his father was by abusing his mother and cheating on his mother and going out and doing this and that. So listen to that. Having gone through that, you know, we were tough on Mike Evans in the beginning of his career. He lacked a little concentration. He dropped a few balls here and there. Man, it's hard to judge somebody until you walk a mile in their shoes because there's a lot of people that go through that kind of crap that'll just ball up underneath the desk and be in a fetal position and they won't use it to their advantage. And Mike Evans has definitely used it, you know, he's used that to an advantage going forward. And his mother said, listen, the second, you know, he realized that, you know, this is the way, this is going to be it. That's all I got. He used that energy, that negative energy to his advantage. So, you know, Mike Evans to me is the least of our worries. I think most people watch the film and they say, we can't let this guy beat us because Mike Evans is right now probably the one guy on the offense that can beat you. I think DeSean Jackson has the ability to become that. He's just not that right now, unfortunately. I'm waiting for it to come together, but it's not going to really come together when Jameis Winston's on the bench. So let's hope that Ryan Fitzpatrick could hold it up. I mean, if Jameis has to miss a week or two, oh, so be it. Hopefully you win one out of two games and you luck out, you never know. But you can you can be out of the playoff run really, really fast. And when it's all said and done, there's certain things you're going to have to be doing well to win and be going into the playoffs. And the Bucs don't do that. They don't run the football particularly well. They don't rush the passer particularly well. And they don't stop the run now. But if you don't stop the run, bro, I'll tell you, it's going to be a long, long, long season. And I'm seeing guys get pushed around all over the place. Pushed around. Guys taking wrong angles. Guys try to run around blocks, and that's not the way to do it. You have to run through somebody's face to be a great running defense. You talk about the Buccaneers of old. I think we're starting to forget how great some of those old Buccaneer teams were. You couldn't run on a Buccaneer team back in the day. You couldn't run. They won't make you pass, and then they're coming after you. We haven't had that mentality since Monty Kiffin left, and that is a long time ago, people. That was John Gruden was our head coach way back then. But we haven't had legitimate defense, I want to say, since got to be 05 now, okay? That's a long time. We haven't had a legitimate pass rusher since Simeon Rice. That's a long time ago. It's time. It's time, you know, for Jason Light to find that guy. It's time for Jason Light to find a kicker. You know, we have a kicker on the team. He didn't kick a field goal yesterday, but we'd like to be confident that when we wheel the kicker out there, he's going to make it, okay? And Murray is a guy who was on the street. I don't know. We don't know how that's going to go, but if he can't kick, we're in trouble because there's not just a big lineup of kickers waiting to get picked up that are worth a crap. So there's just a lot of funky pieces going on right now with the Buccaneers, and looking in, I'm hoping. But, you know, Dirk Koetter now is going to have to earn his money because you're going to have some people, this is when you watch film and people start looking around, people start pointing fingers, and you have to make sure people stay together because everybody's going to want to make it somebody else's fault. And that's when it gets real tough in the locker room. I like Dirk Koetter as a coach. I didn't like what I saw yesterday. I didn't. And and really, if you look back to the Buccaneers this year, they really haven't beaten anybody. They really haven't beaten anybody. They've lost to a couple. They lost to, that was a bad team they lost to yesterday, okay? They lost to an average New England team. Chicago ain't going to beat. You know what I mean? Chicago's not going to beat anybody. So the Buccaneers haven't really conquered anybody yet. Buffalo's not a bad football team. Buffalo has some good football players, okay? They have some good football players up and down. They rush the passer. They're mean. And mean is not good for the Buccaneers because we sure enough are not mean. The one mean guy I believe we have is Quad Alexander, and he's his red hair is on the bench, you know, jumping up and down, but we need him on the football field. So the Buccaneers this week, they got to get back to the basics. And you know, this is one of those weeks where the coaches look at each other. They got to think, we got to start being hard asses. We got to start hitting these guys a little bit because we're getting too soft. So there's two sides of that. Your team's starting to get wore out because the season's going along. But you don't want them resting on their laurels, because that what we watched yesterday on both sides of the line for sure wasn't good enough. It's just not good enough. And there's nowhere to go to find help. There's nowhere to go in the middle of a football season to find a pass rusher. There's nowhere to go to find an offensive lineman. So you got to deal with what you have right now. And what we have right now is a below average football team. And listen, I wanted to be here. I thought they were going to win that football game. I did. Just, you know why? Because I thought we were better. I thought we were a better football team than the Cardinals. And when it's all over, we lost the game. If the Bucs play the Cardinals again two or three more times, the Bucs could win two of those games. I think they could. I don't think the Cardinals are physically or that much more talented than the Buccaneers, but they looked so much better coached than us last year. I mean, yesterday. They looked so much better coached than we were. And that scares me, because I thought Dirk Cutter had it, okay? I thought defensively we were ready to take another step forward. And I questioned so many people in the offseason when they were like, well, our defense is going to be so much better, our pass rush is better. I don't see it. I just haven't seen a quarterback uncomfortable yet playing against the Buccaneers. And it's been years since I've seen a quarterback uncomfortable playing the Buccaneers. I can't think of one off the top of my head. When I mean uncomfortable, I mean you got to come out and get you five sacks in a game and be pelting a guy every game. We haven't done that in a long, long time, okay? So Buccaneers are playing Buffalo this week. I'm hoping and praying, first of all and foremost, that Jameis is going to be healthy. We need Jameis healthy in the long run, because we're not going anywhere without him. Ryan Fitzpatrick did not play poorly yesterday, but that he ain't the savior. He's not going to be the reason where we go to the promised land. We need Jameis Winston to be healthy right now. And we also need Jameis Winston to work on his accuracy a little bit. We also need Jameis Winston to be more in sync with his wide receivers, hurt or not, because it doesn't look like it's in sync out there. Anybody want to come watch that game with me? I'll be at Parks and Rec in St. Petersburg. They have fabulous food. I know they have drink specials and all those kind of things. And check me out on social media at Ian Beckles if you guys want to, for more information. If you guys want to ask me any questions, whether it's football related, I have another podcast as well, Flavor in Your Ear, that comes out on Friday morning. You can ask me any question you want. It's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com if you guys have any questions. And other than that, let's all pray for the Buccaneers that they figure some things out in 1 week. Let's throw the healing vibe to Jameis Winston, because we need him. We need him. It's a long season, and without him, it's not as fun. Although the offense looked a little bit more fun yesterday in that second half, but don't put too much stock in that. Jameis is the man, and when Jameis comes back, he's going to still be the man. And if he's healthy, he's the man. He's been winning his whole career. Nobody's going to put Jameis Winston on the bench anytime soon. So love doing this. Love talking about football. Watch it all week long, so I might as well come here and be spitting knowledge to you people. I appreciate you guys listening in. When I see the numbers are jumping up, which is wonderful. So people are listening to In the Trenches, and I definitely appreciate that. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Go Buccaneers. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.